Lord, we do turn to you. Oh, we have been facing you, but we turn again our hearts. Lord, we know that you have an anointing for us by your Holy Spirit. We know our Lord Jesus is high and lifted up. And Lord, we claim the fact that he has given his head over all things to the church. So we believe today that you will give us to hear and to see, to have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand and respond. Oh, Lord, give us this. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask for his sake, for our sake, that he may be glorified in his people, that his inheritance in the saints may be increased. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, you were saved individually, but you were called corporately. And the reason for that is manifold, and I don't pretend to know all of it, but I know part of it, is that the purpose of our great salvation is that we may express Christ. And the problem is that he is very great. Now, he may be expressed among us individually. Of course he may. But he may fully be expressed among us all. And that's the intention of God. And that's worth the rest of your life. And frankly, nothing else is. You know, Sonny said some things yesterday, wonderful things. I hope you heard him. I hope. Someone asked me, did I like the message? And I said, well, yeah, like an arrow in the heart. And it's true. It's true. You see, we just have a little time. We have a little life. And what we don't see is how important it is. It's a day of small things. It's not a day of great things. And so we say, gee, you know, this is an unimportant day. I'll take a day off. I'll just sort of, you know, I'll just sort of glide through it. But your days are numbered. And who knows if the Lord remains and if every one of us decided to come here next year, and there the Lord gave grace for another conference. Who knows those of us who would be with the Lord between now and then? Better than even odds, somebody will go to the Lord this year. Someone who is in this room. Did you know that? I don't know anybody that's sick or has any problem. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is a real deal here. You have life. You have been given life. You have been given abundant life. So have I. And it's great. And we are called to use that life, to build with that life, to build the house of God. Now, what is on my heart today is to speak about practical matters. I think what was on the heart of Sonny yesterday, and what's the heart on Matt and Chip, and Stephen, I know. Practical. We're speaking of practical things. And let me just tell you this. Here, this is not complicated. You know, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. If you hear something that's the truth and you know it's the truth and you act upon it, it becomes yours. If you hear the truth and you do not act upon it, it becomes an idea. It becomes a thought. It becomes a theory. It becomes a theology. But the reality, the life is gone from it. And what happens to you is you become hardened. Brothers and sisters, you have paid a price to be here. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Let me tell you something. This thing that you offer up to the Lord this weekend, he will most certainly receive. He most certainly will be an abundant provision. The question is, you come here from a long way. You've come here from a long way or a short way. Will you go how you came or will you go differently? That's the question. Now, I want to read some very familiar scriptures. I don't think I'm going to say anything much that you probably have not already heard. There are a few verses. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built upon it, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, as though through fire. We are talking about the practical matter of building the house of God. Building together. Every one of us is called to build, I believe. If you are hearing my voice, you are called to build. And actually, everyone is building. Because this building is all about relationships, you see. The relationship between you and the Lord, which is primary. Amen to our brother. There is a place that only belongs to God. But the scripture makes it very clear, it makes it very clear all over the place, that you cannot love God who is in heaven and despise your brothers on the earth. How can a man say he loves God whom he has not seen when he does not love his brother whom he has with him? That's not true. About relationships. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus and your relationship with one another. As you build those relationships, you build the house of God. If you build rightly. Gold. Silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Let's talk with the wood, hay, and the stubble. All this has to do with the house of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Very familiar verses to many of you. 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For this is contained in Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be put to shame. To you who believe, therefore, he is precious. Let's stop there. The house of God is built up of his people, living stones. If you are saved, you're alive, and you're a stone. And when the living stones come together in a place, the building work begins. Now, it doesn't matter at this point, today. You see, this is not something you have to put off until you move to Jerusalem or wherever Jerusalem is for you, because there is no assembly where you are. Okay? This is something you may begin this moment. And it's something you can continue when you go home, or you could ignore it. But brothers and sisters, don't ignore it. You are called to develop relationships with your brothers and sisters. And if you do that, see, if you do that, you will come to the right place. Again, it's not complicated. It's very simple. Do you have understanding? Good. When you act upon that understanding, you get more understanding. When you don't act upon it, you lose it. You don't get any more. To him who's given, more he shall have. To him who's given much, he shall have more. To him who has nothing, what he has will be taken away from him. Brothers and sisters, it's very simple. When you act upon what you know, the Lord will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, you're not just called to deny yourself and take up your cross and wander along. That's not the deal. If that was it, woe be us. That's not the way. And in fact, if it were not to follow the Lord, none of us could deny ourselves and take up our cross. That is asceticism, and it's not our cross. But basically, we follow him, and he leads us, and it works. So what I'm saying to you is very, very practical. And there are two parts, there are two questions really that are here. One of them is, how do you regard one another? I look around the room, I don't believe any of you live in a place where there are no Christians. How do you regard the people around you? Gold, silver, precious stones. Those things are expensive. Those are things you don't leave out in the yard. Those are things you put in a safe place and treasure. Those things are important to you. So tell me about your brothers and sisters. Are they important to you? Well, some of them are. Some of them are, no doubt. Let's talk a little bit about wood, hay, and stubble. In the scripture, gold speaks of the divine nature, the love of God, that which is imperishable, that which is eternal, that which is he himself. And as we walk with him, we get more of that. Silver always speaks of redemption in the scripture. And as we walk, as we come into more of the practical reality of our salvation. You know, that's what the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it's talking about. It's all there. You just have to work it out. If you are born again, there's gold, silver that you have. You couldn't be born again without salvation. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit came inside you. That, boy, if there's any gold that's greater than that, there's not. And you are a living stone. and God's intention that you should become a living stone, but a living precious stone. Precious stones in the scriptures are always associated with the house of God. Whether with the high priest's raiment, whether you know, the stones for beauty and glory on his chest and the onyx stones on his shoulder that he wore, or whether, as we see here, that he is a precious cornerstone and built up, or whether we see in the New Jerusalem, that city, or even in the imitation, she who is the harlot clothes herself, adorns herself in a similar fashion. But it's always related to the house of God. And it's where all these things take place. Now, wood speaks of man, speaks of humanity. Hay speaks of the glory of humanity. The scripture says we are like the grass, man is like the grass, and his glory like the glory of the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of God remains forever. This matter of hay speaks of things that look good in our humanity. Stubble is that which is left when it's cut. It's left outside and trod upon. Now, the scripture says we are to regard no man after the flesh. But the wood, hay, and stubble speaks of that. You know, we can have relationships with each other. There are people who like what I like. There are people who think like I think. There are people who want to do what I want to do. And when we have such relationships, they're clubs. There's nothing wrong with a club. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with a club. As long as you don't hit anybody over the head with it. But and let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. In the Lord's house, we do have some affinities, okay? And they're not bad. I'll come to that in just a little bit. But if we pick the movers and shakers, or if we pick the non-movers and shakers, you know, the people that we have affinity for, if that's what we do, and if our relationships are simply human relationships that we develop because we like each other, and there's nothing wrong with liking each other, brothers and sisters, we miss the mark. You see, all that stuff will burn up. It all goes through the fire. The whole deal goes through the fire. Whatever you build with goes through the fire. I'm not speaking of pleasantries here. I'm talking about what you build with, where you spend your strength, where you spend your energy. It's all going to be tested, and the day will reveal it, for it will be tried with fire. It's not, again, this is not complicated. But when we have disputings, and when we have favorites, and when we give people a place because they are smart or pretty or, I don't know, you know, talented, yeah. Brothers and sisters, are we not acting as mere men? We are building with the wrong stuff. Don't do it. Don't do that. It'll burn up. It'll be gone. So, how do we build with gold, silver, and precious stones? I'll tell you how we do it. We look for it. You know, there are brothers and sisters who don't appeal to our flesh very much. But they are brothers and sisters. Now, here's my question. How much energy do you expend looking for the gold? How much grace do you give to your brothers and sisters for the silver? You know, we've been redeemed and forgiven so much. So much the Lord has forgiven us from. Boy, am I glad that I woke up this morning and I could say, Lord, take it all. And he says, I took it all. It's finished. It's over. To wake up clean. How wonderful that is. But, brothers and sisters, do we give it to one another? Do we allow our brothers and sisters that same grace that we receive so freely? Our brothers and sisters sin against us. They sin. How do we deal with that? You understand what I'm saying? You know, we're talking now, I'm going to speak about that a little more later, but we're talking now about what you look in someone to see. When you look into them, if we look at the same stick for everybody, then some of us look good and some of us don't look so good. But you know, some of us got saved out of a wonderful background. And some of us are not bothered particularly by our personalities we're not subject to craziness or depression or insanity. And some of us are. Some of us have had a good education spiritually and know how to use the words, the lingo. And some of us know the reality of the lingo. And some of us just got all, you know, just came to the cross yesterday. Brothers and sisters, receive you one another. Bless you one another. Look for the silver. Look for the redemption. Look for what this person has been and what he is becoming. Don't regard one another after the flesh. My goodness gracious, you'll miss some of the greatest saints that were ever here. We could spend the whole weekend simply talking about people that we all acknowledge as great men of God and great women of God, who at one point in their life you would have looked at them and said, man, this person. And every one of us in the room can look at our own lives. And frankly, if we know one another well, every one of us can look at one another and see how much we've been saved from. You know, a lot of the time, what we look at is what's left. You know, there's one particular edge about you that cuts me every time I get next to it, and I'm always offended for it, and I keep saying, Lord, Lord, deal with this edge in this man. And Lord, he's God. You know, he never minds me asking him, and he always answers, and he laughs a lot. Not because he's taken me lightly, but because he knows his end. He's delighted in what's going on, in the process that's going on in me. You understand what I'm saying? He's changed in 100 different ways, but I'm looking at the one way that he hadn't been changed. How can you see what you don't see? You understand what I'm saying? Until the Holy Spirit shows him. Or what if the Holy Spirit shows him and he doesn't do it? So what? How many times the Holy Spirit shown you something and me something and I didn't do it? We must forbear with one another, brothers and sisters. We must look for the silver. We must look for the practical salvation that's there. It's there. It's there. If they're saved, it's there. If we don't, we'll demean one another. We'll consider one another not precious. You see, that's what stubble is. Stubble is something you walk on. You understand what I'm saying? We either want to hold each other up because of some lofty human reason. I'm not opposed to these things. But they just don't have any reality, and we don't have time for them. There's just a little time left. If you have 50 years or 60 years or 70 years, there's just a little time left. There's much work to be done. There's much of the glory of the Lord to be seen and enjoyed and revealed and shared and shown forth. There's not time for that, and there is no time for contempt. You know? Stubble. Stubble. Something to be walked on. Something to be disregarded. Something to clean whatever's on your shoe off of it with. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope I am shaking you up a little bit, but I want you to think about this. Think of your relationships. Don't not just the words I'm saying. Are there those you hold in contempt? It's wrong. It's sin. You ought to confess it, repent of it, and be done with it. You see, the Lord gave us a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Even so, love one another now. How did he love us? He got us there, didn't he? He didn't say just love one another. We could fake it, you know. But he also says love one another fervently from the heart. There's another era. You are not under the law, okay? This is not, we are not talking about a set of legal rules. What we're talking about is things like gravity, things like the laws of motion, the things that hold the universe together. They are not man-made. They are not even put in the Bible for you to obey. They are facts. They are the eternal realities. And one of the eternal realities is that we are to bear one another's burden and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You know, that is an eternal reality. It is not like the commandment, do not steal, do not kill. It's an eternal reality. And it's how you build. By holding it precious. By holding them precious. You know, if you consider your brothers and sisters precious, you will bear their burdens. You will look for their burdens to bear. If you see in them, when you look deeply, a little flicker of the light of God, a little salvation, a little silver. You know, when they built the temple, that wonderful, glorious building, I figured it out not too long ago, and I had so much trouble translating it into Korean. Because there's no words for what I was trying to say, and I couldn't make it understood. But it is about, I think, as I calculated 3 or 4 months ago, $256 billion that the temple that Solomon built with what David had provided cost. That's a lot. But there's 10 times as much silver as there is gold, because, buddy, we need the silver. You understand what I'm saying? And we need to be generous to one another. We need to build with that. We need to, when you cannot see, when you find yourself, this one's done that, you know, and don't want to get that on me. When you look in your own life and see the silver that the Lord has given you, sometimes it gets a little tarnished, brothers and sisters, and we have to polish it, unlike gold, which doesn't tarnish. Silver does. You have to stay at it. You have to keep at it. And you have to keep looking for it. Now, if you see that we are living stones, then you have to believe that the Lord desires to convert us to precious stones, which he does with heat and pressure in the dark places of the earth, by ourselves, individually. And when you see it, when you see it in a brother or sister, it's holy ground that you're standing on. When you see a brother or sister that is being dealt with in difficult circumstances, oh, brothers and sisters, You are watching God work on one of his very favorite people. It's a holy thing that you are seeing, and it ought to arrest you and make you take the shoes off of your feet. Now, you see, we are all in the building business, and we are all also the material for the building. The gold. How do you get that? Well, we've already talked about that. You get it by walking with the Lord and being born again. The more you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, the more it increases inside you. The silver, how do you get it? You're given it Salvation's a free gift. But as you walk in it, as you give it a bigger place in your life, it's sort of like them coming into the promised land. He says, every place that you put your foot down, I'll give to you. I have given to you. He said to Joshua. You remember? Every place that you put that great salvation that you've been given down, he will give to you. And it increases. And the precious stones, all we can do is be living stones and come together to become that. But you know, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about you, not your brother, not your sister, when we're talking about you, and there is a process. I'm going to read you a few verses. You don't have to look them up. They're short. Psalms 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. Proverbs 27:21. As a refining pot for silver and a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Isaiah 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You see, you got it, but you've got to increase it. It's got to be refined. Now, again, it's not complicated, but it's not fun. You are refined in the fire of affliction. You are refined when the Lord tests your hearts, and he will, every one of you. He lets everything be tested. He wants everything to be tested. Why? Not that it will be proved false. It's not false. You got good stuff in there. He's put it in there. Eternal, strong, clear, clean. It's in there. But there's a lot of other stuff in there, too, that's got to go. You know, in that city that is to come, the gold is clear. Go figure. 24-karat gold is not clear. Of course, it's only 96% pure. Go figure. It's solid, but it's clear. It's been refined. Now, here's another thing. Isaiah 31, verse 9. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear. And his princes shall be afraid of the incense, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Oops. You understand? His fire is in Zion and his furnace is in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the place of the house of God. The new Jerusalem. And the temple is built upon, as our brother said, Mount Moriah, where Isaac was offered up by Abraham. A place of sacrifice. Also, you remember how David was given the place where the house was to be built. He had sinned in numbering the people. He had chosen, as God gave him a choice, that the Lord would go through the land with a plague. He looked out his palace window and saw the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn over Jerusalem. And he fell on his face and he said, Lord, not these people, not these poor sheep. Put it on me in my house. And the Lord heard him and was stayed. So David hustled out and went It was on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite that he was standing. Now, a threshing floor. The house of God is built on a threshing floor. You want to build a house of God? You come to a place of sacrifice. Then, after that, you come to a threshing floor. Have you ever seen wheat threshed? Some of you have, because when some of you were about that high, we did it. We grew a plot of wheat in Larry Davis's backyard. We planted it. We watched it. We reaped it. According to the old rabbinical tradition, it took us a year to do that. And the next year, this was among young people. I think the oldest were about 7 or 8. The youngest were 3 or 4 at the time. We beat out the wheat. We threshed it. Then we crushed it and sifted it and made it into flour. And actually, we made the bread for the Lord's table out of it one Sunday. But it's a threshing floor. You see, it's not just the one sacrifice that you make, it's the every day that's done. And the question is, are you going to increase that which you've been given? Is it going to grow up in your life? Do you have a private life with God where you have dealings? And also, do you receive that which comes from the outside? No one, absolutely no one likes the fire of affliction. No one likes his heart to be tested, you see, because he doesn't test you where you want to be tested. He tests you where you need to be tested. His purpose is to show that which is done, but that which is done he leaves pretty much and works on that which is undone. And there's a lot that's undone in all of us. You know, and all this is actually preparation. I mean, we could talk about that candlestick, which represents, of course, the church of the Lord, the house of God. It's a beaten work. Even that which is eternal is then formed, shaped, and beaten. Now, on the one hand, brothers and sisters, are you willing to submit yourself to the hand of the Lord, to receive everything that comes from Him, to realize that what came to you today, what's coming to you this afternoon and tomorrow, the offenses, the pain, the trouble, the difficulty, is for two reasons. One, so that you may be made complete in Christ, and two, because you have come to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, you have come to Mount Moriah, you have come to the temple of the living God, where our God, who is a consuming fire, wants to burn up the dross, wants to make you so pure that His Son can be seen so clearly in you. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's painful, but it is so profitable, and it's so wonderful, even in the pain. Because He doesn't just throw you in. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember? Fiery furnace? I love what they said before they went in there. The king had said, you must worship, you know, this idol. And everybody who doesn't is going to be thrown in the furnace. And, of course, they didn't do it. He said, all right, I'll give you one more chance now, and this is it. And they said, look, king, know this. Our God is well able to deliver us. But whether He deliver us or not, we're in no wise going to worship your idol. Well, they got thrown in the furnace. And the guys who threw them in were consumed by the flame. And a few minutes, the king looked in there and said, what is that? We threw 3 men in there, but there's a 4th one in there. And he's walking, and he's like a son of God. It was the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, in the furnace of affliction, you are not alone. I don't say that you won't feel alone. Part of the affliction sometimes is feeling alone. Loneliness, as our brother spoke of. It's not bad. I mean, it's painful, but it's only for a moment. And it's always for a purpose. The Lord knows your loneliness. Let me tell you, the loneliest times in my life were when I was a young adult. Maybe, I would say between when I was 15 and when I was 25, absolutely. It's real, and it's not to be trivialized, but it's profitable. But it's worthwhile. But it will bring you the very thing that you long for inside, even if you don't know what it is. Praise the Lord for that. How do you regard your brothers and sisters? Do you look for that which is precious in them? Do you treat them as that which is precious? And what are you doing yourself? Are you having dealings with God? And are you, just as importantly, accepting all things from His hand? You see, because a lot of the time, you know, it's one thing when the Lord says to you to do this, to do that, and you do it, and you, or even when you don't do it. But then something comes up, and you say, Lord, what about this? And, you know, don't hear anything. And you ask Him again, and He says, nothing. Now, what do you do? If that happens to you, it means that God is of the opinion that you have grown enough that He doesn't have to treat you like a two-year-old. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't always have to say, okay, this is me. He simply says, I will leave my son, my daughter, in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I will give him over as my servant Job was given over. When I say, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth to be tested. You see, brothers and sisters, we do have an enemy. We have enemies, and they are stronger than we are. So they're all defeated. But gee, a lot of the time they don't look so defeated. You know? The question is, what do you believe? What are you going to believe? Are you going to act as a believer? Are you going to act in faith? Are you going to be unfaithful? Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on. What's unfaithful here? Unfaithful is simply not believing what the Lord has said and not acting upon it. And by the standard that I've just given you, we all are unfaithful. We are all unprofitable servants at our very best. And that's why we need one another to increase our faith. You know, one of the great things about being around brothers and sisters is I will wake up and I will be in another world and doing different things and thinking about business or thinking about almost anything. And I will see a brother or sister, and immediately I know who I am. I'm reminded of what I am about. It's why it's so important that we have relationship with each other. Brothers and sisters, not just with the brothers and sisters with whom you have a natural affinity. Now, I've been talking about how we regard one another, because that's very important. There's another thing that's important, and that is how we treat one another. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, of course, comes between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. The last verse in 12 says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. The first verse in 14 says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. It's a parenthesis. In 1 Corinthians 12, he's been talking about all the gifted ones to the house of God for the building up of the body of Christ in love, that they are given gifts. We are given gifts for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of service. And the apostle who has just written all this wonderful chapter about the gifts says there's a better way. And he speaks of the excellency of love. Now, this is one of those chapters that we pass over because we've all heard a bunch of times, weddings, funerals, christenings, almost any time somebody wants to say something that's nice and non-controversial from the Bible, they will quote from this book. It's a devastating chapter. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, this is just speaking of the importance of it. And it's the truth. It's real important. God is love, you know. And here we go. Verse 4 through verse 8. Through the first part of verse 8 is what I want to concentrate on. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, there are eight things said about love that are positive, and there are eight things that it is, and eight things that it is not. Love is patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and it never fails. Eight things love is not. It's not jealous, doesn't brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, I would like you to consider this matter, and I would like you brothers to consider love. And I would like you sisters to consider respect. Because you see, how many of you in this room are married? Raise your hand. Okay, so the majority of us are not married. And some of us are married, so this will work in both cases. Many of you who are not married have been, are being, will be prayed for. your husbands, your wives. Many of you have been prayed for many years. And all of you who have such a desire in your heart should be preparing for such a time. And those of you who are, oh, brothers and sisters, you need to be working on that relationship. Now, it's true in the larger sense with all of us, but it's particularly true in that one. Why is that? Because that is the closest relationship. You remember I told you that human relationships were not bad in themselves, and I don't think they are, but only as a starting point. We have to have relationships with one another, and sometimes, frankly, even spiritual relationships, it's easier to develop them with some people than others. You know? And it's important that we do that. Not to the exclusion of the other, but for a reason. Again, we're speaking about love is patient. Now, I can be patient for about 5 minutes. But the word is not actually patient, which just simply implies you're waiting for them to bring you your meal at a restaurant. The word actually means long suffering. It means one who suffers long. Now, mostly, for the most part, we're pretty much short sufferers. Real short. You know? But the scripture is clear. Love one another fervently from the heart. Patience. It is by faith and patience we obtain the promises. And let me tell you something. Deep, real relationship with your brother and sister is so precious. And frankly, it is so rare. It is rare even when there's a lot of it. It's just rare. There's nothing like it. Each one is different. Each one is individual. Each one of it is so precious. And each one is costly. Patience. Kindness. What a trivialized. You know. If you want to, what was the old word, damn someone with faint praise, you'd say something like, oh, he's kind. It's listed second, brothers and sisters. Patience is listed first because without it, you won't get any of the other stuff. But being kind, being thoughtful of one another, looking to the needs of one another, goes back to how you regard one another. If you regard one another as stubble, you won't be kind to them. If you regard one another as lofty, you won't be kind to one another. You may be fawning to one another, but not kind. Because kindness is giving the needful thing, is doing the needful thing at the right time to bless. Rejoices with the truth. Well, let's go back. Let's take these in order. Is not jealous. Now here we come to three things. Not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant. You know, one of the problems with these things, I have never heard anyone confess that he was, his problem was he was a braggart. My problem is that I'm jealous of my brother. My problem is that I'm arrogant. I mean, have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard people come to you and say, you know, I got this problem? I brag. Let me put it differently. Have you ever, you know, we know people who brag, people who are arrogant, people who are jealous of another's position and place. You go to such a one and say, you're jealous. I am not. You're bragging. I'm simply telling the truth. You're arrogant. What are you? Arrogant? I'm the humblest guy you ever met. You remember that relationship that I spoke to you of, the easy one. This is where it goes in. See, you can only receive this from someone that you love. Someone that you know loves you is committed to you. And you probably won't receive it even from them. What you likely do is bite them. But it's the purpose of that easy relationship. You know, to go to your friend. Let me put it in a little clearer context. Husbands, you've been married a couple of years now. You come home from a party. And this woman who loves you, who's given herself to you, says to you, boy, what you did tonight. And you say, what do you mean? Man, you were all over the place, bragging on yourself. And you say, when? Now, you know when, but you always say that. And they say, oh, when you were talking about all the things that you were doing for the Lord, or how great a bass fisherman you are, or whatever. You know, if this woman loves you, she'll do it because that's the purpose of the relationship. You see what I'm saying? To say things to you nobody else can say. Now, here's what we do, guys. Hear me out. Here's what we do. Well, first we say, I didn't do it. Well, I'll consider it. I'll pray about it. And we consider it, pray about it, and we may even come back and say, okay, yeah, I was. But what we do? We punish her. We withdraw our love. We take it back. We withhold it. You see, women have a need to be loved. Your wife needs to be loved. Really to love. That's why it says, husbands, love your wives. Not an option. But it's a very subtle way that a man can get back at a woman. See, he can do all the right things. Take the trash out, bring home the bacon, you know, clean up after the dog, change the baby. But he can withhold that. And it's not something that you can point the finger at all the time. But it's as real as a dagger. And it's mean and it's nasty and it's wicked and you ought to not do it. Now, those of you who are married got no business doing it to your partners. But those of you who are not, we still do it. Let me tell you something. What you are doing, the relationships that you have, it's just more intense in marriage. What I'm not saying is that it's the same thing. It's not. But you know what I'm talking about. When someone offends me, I withdraw from them. When somebody doesn't like me, okay, I won't like you. There's other people in the world. You people don't like me in this place, I'll go to another place. And we have freedom to do that. Not so once you get married. But it's wrong. It's wrong before you're married. It's wrong after you're married. Don't do it. Don't do it. Is that what you want? You know, do you want a peaceful coexistence? Do you want just a place that somebody to fix your dinner? You know, clean your clothes, brothers and sisters, that's not what it's about, man. This relationship that you begin when you get married, that you begin before you get married, that you begin to learn about how to have before you get married. You know, there's so much work you can do now. I don't know how to say this, but you got to understand it. Right now, those of you who are not married, you have a wonderful chance that your brothers and sisters who are married don't have to develop relationships. I'm not talking so much about relationship between men and women. I'm talking about relationships between one another. You have time. Guys can stay up all night and talk about the deep things of God. Or they can take a weekend off and go together. You know? A few women can spend lots and lots of time with one another. You can get to know one another. And here's the deal. The relationships that you build now with one another will remain with you forever. And the relationships will be different than the ones you develop after you get married. Now, I'm not saying they're not good relationships after you get married. Of course they are, but they're not the same. Don't waste it. Don't waste this time. Don't trivialize it. Don't waste this weekend. But, coming back, guys with guys, men with your wives, the way we respond when we're aggravated is usually not by complaining, particularly when we develop a little more sophistication about the deal. We just withdraw our affection. And we do it from men as well, but this is just the clearest place. Oh, brothers, let us recognize that snake for what it is and be rid of it. Because if you don't, you will remain in superficial relationships. Is that what you want? Is that what you signed on for?
No.
If you did, you're stupid. With respect, I say that. I mean, who wants a superficial relationship? I mean, we are talking about oneness. You know, the Lord Jesus in John 17, that they may be one as you and I are one. I and them, thou and me, you know, the same one as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have, we are to have with each other. Do we trivialize it, sisters? Oh, sisters, what about respect? Do you respect your brothers? I'm not talking about the ones, well, if you're married, of course you should respect your husband. In fact, it's a commandment. But sisters, you are also to respect your brothers. Most of the sisters are sharper than most of the brothers. Most of them, many of them have their acts better together. Almost all of them are more articulate at arguing and pointing out things. And there's plenty among the brothers to be contentious of. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? How are you considering your brothers? Wood, hay, and stubble? That's wood, hay, and stubble. You know, the old gold miners, in the 49ers they call them, went out to California, to the rivers, and they had big pans. You ever seen a pan for gold, big pans, heavy, 10, 15 pounds of sand. They get, and they swirl it around the water, and they let the water flow through it, and it would wash away everything. The heavy stuff would stick at the bottom, you know. And then they get another pan full of sand. And on a really good day, they might get 3 or 4 ounces of gold, and going through maybe a half a ton of sand. Now, those miners never complained about the sand. They never said, man, that's sand. There's too much sand in this place. Let's go somewhere else. What about you? Too much sand in your brothers? Huh? What are you looking for? I'm not talking about the special brothers. I'm talking about all of your brothers. There's gold in there. There's gold in there. No kidding. There's preciousness. But the way sisters respond is with contempt. A man who treats his wife by withdrawing love, unless she is really a spiritual woman, will get contempt from his wife. Will not be respected. I'll tell you something else, sisters. Hear me out. If your habit of life is holding brothers, any brothers, in contempt, that kills love. You see, it's not so much what you do, it's what you become. You become a contemptuous person. You become a person who is like that, whose response is that. Don't do that. No, kid, don't do that. Be done with it. We are talking about the house of God. We're talking about building relationships. We're talking about how we are to treat one another. We're talking about how we gain intimacy, how we gain fellowship, how we gain relationship, how we gain something that will go through the storm, something that will go through the fire, which is most certainly coming and is of God. You know, if a woman really loves her husband, she will tell him when he's out of line, things that no one else can tell him, even at expense to herself. Brothers, it oughtn't be too expensive. If you make it too expensive, she'll stop and then you'll lose your best helper the Holy Spirit has. I'm telling you, nobody's more committed to you than your wife. Nobody. I will tell you, sisters, nobody is more committed to you when you marry than your husband. And if you are married in another way, then you need to reevaluate that deal, go back and do it right. Eternal things happen. But you got to be ready for it. You see what I'm saying? You got to quit being who you are so you can become who you're supposed to be. Another way to say it is, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because all this is a part of denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following the Lord. Brothers and sisters, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Lists. Many married couples have lists. And many unmarried people have lists. You want to know the day and the time you offended me last? Or you want to know the first time you offended me? Or would you like to know the time I was most offended? Or would you rather have the day that you offended me the most times on that day? I got a little book. Now, that's funny, but don't we do it? Don't we do it? Don't we keep up with it? You know, I was talking with a dear lady not long ago who was having memory problems. And she said, oh, I'm grateful that I can remember so many things. And I said, yes, and I'm grateful I can forget so many things. We ought to remember much, and we ought to forget much. We ought to forgive much. We ought to not account a wrong suffered. Instead of keep a list. If you are a woman and you are married and you are keeping a list on your husband and you can tell me what he did the first year, the second year, the third year of your marriage, or the first month, the second month, the third month, or the first decade, the second decade, the third decade, whatever, get rid of the list. It's sin. It's wrong. It's contemptuous. It allows you to have a place of superiority. It's wrong. Be done with it. Be done with it. Do you want to have a superficial relationship? That's what's at stake. Same thing with one another. You know when my list personally comes out, when another brother excels in a particular area, you know, I can think, well, now, yeah, but then back in '04 or back in 97 or back in 82, you know, You know what we ought to do in such times? We ought to laugh at ourselves. We ought to brush it aside like kicking some dirt off our shoe forever. We ought to give the same salvation to our brothers and sisters that we take for ourselves. If we don't, we can't grow in relationship. If we can't speak the truth in love to one another, how can we grow in relationship? The people, you know, that I am developing the closest relationships with, and there's a number I'm so happy for. These are the men, the people who straighten me out, who tell me when I'm wrong, who love me and are committed to me, but who tell me, who else can tell me but those who love me? Who else will I hear? We ought to hear it from anybody, but we don't. We ought to make it easy on each other, brothers and sisters, to change. We ought to bless one another. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. You ever heard something about a brother or a sister and something in you said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it all along. Did you ever disagree with a brother or a sister and you said, aha, see, now God is vindicating me. I told him. Oh, I tried. When I say it out, it sounds so rotten. Doesn't sound nearly as rotten as it really is. Stinks. It's wrong. See, you're a holy priesthood. That's what I'm going to talk about next time. I'm going to talk about functioning in the house next time. You're holy. You're called to be holy, even as God is holy. Not religious. He's not religious. But boy, is he holy. And he's righteous and he's good. That's who you're called to share in his holiness. That's what the purpose of the discipline is, according to Hebrews. Hebrews, turn to Hebrews 13. And then turn back to 12. 12 is right before 13. Verse 4. I'm going to read a whole, starting from verse 1. Therefore, since we have such a great crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, and despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility of sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary and lose heart. Let us not let one another grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of the shedding of blood, and you're striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whose father doesn't discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. All discipline is sorrowful, not joyful. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The purpose of discipline is that we may be partakers of His holiness. Your brothers and sisters are under discipline. The Scripture says when a man, Job said to his buddies who had come to him and were heaping coals on his head, he said, when a man is tried by the Lord, when he's disciplined by the Lord, he deserves kindness from his friends, lest he forsake the fear of the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be kind to one another, particularly when we're being tried. Particularly when we're being exposed. Particularly when that which is wrong in us has been brought to the top. We ought not to give up on one another. We ought not to forsake one another. We ought not to participate in sin or shovel things under the rug. That's wrong. Oh, but to love one another in such times, to be kind to one another, to bless one another in such kind. How precious that is. None of us would come through if it weren't for it. Let us be such people, brothers and sisters. Let us not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love covers a multitude of sin. Doesn't conceal it. I mean, doesn't sweep it under the rug. But it covers it with the same grace that we've been covered with. And is quick to help. That's why he says to, right after this, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. We are talking about the body of Christ. See, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We'll talk about that a little more later. But when you do this, you actually, in point of fact, minister to Christ. And you minister as Christ because it is His body. But that's another thing. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, this is a time. This is a great day that we are in. It is a time when the Lord will give us the thing that we ask for. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely certain that this weekend, if you and I determine that we are going to have the thing that God has shown us, not something that some guy stood up and said, the thing that God has pierced your heart with, He will give it to you. Then all you have to do is walk in it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord. You are such a good God. You have made every provision for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we do love You and we do love one another. And we're all such a mess. How could You possibly love us yet? Lord, You proved Your love for us. The Lord Jesus did die. And He is raised at the right hand of the Father. And He does intercede for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, intercede for us even now. That we may have this thing that You have shown our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. That we may be different people. Lord, let this weekend not pass us by and leave us unchanged. And not just change, but change, Lord, for the better. Oh, Lord, and we will give You all the glory, for all the glory is Yours. Bless us, Lord, for we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.